It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Big show today. Big show today. Kevin Wall with you. Laura Trump, if you missed Laura Trump at 9:30, we will replay a portion of that interview at 11:30. The first daughter-in-law joining us earlier on the program. Also, coming up, there is help needed because there is a bill that is going to be talked about, and this is the bill involving, this is SB 179. There's going to be a hearing 2:30 this afternoon, the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. It's the parental notification bill. We'll talk about that as we go along, but first, though, always good to have on my friend and one of the truly great conservative voices in our state, in our country, Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, and Red Wave America PAC. She joins us. Megan, good morning. How was your weekend?
Oh, it's great, Kevin. I'm up in Tahoe. I come back to Vegas today. So I missed you at the Bernie rally or the counter-Bernie rally.
It was great, though.
It was great.
Saturday. It was dynamite.
Good.
And I tell you what, our people were positioned perfectly as they made the turn towards the front gate. They had to come by. And you know what was good? A lot of them actually listened.
Excellent. Very good.
So anytime you can get the other side listening. I want to ask you about some breaking news that is this morning. A new USA Today Suffolk University poll shows that the appeal of impeachment is down to 28%. 28% of Americans think the House should deal with impeachment of the president. And more importantly, half of America, 50% in this poll, say that the Mueller investigation is nothing more than a, get this, witch hunt. Are you surprised that America is finally catching up to what the president has known for 2 years now?
I'm a little bit surprised only because there has been nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of the promotion that Trump was somehow an agent of Putin. And I'm sure you have listeners that actually believe that. They might fall into the other 50%. And I'm also surprised at the fact that it is that number in spite of all of the negative press that the president has received nonstop since he took office uh, two a little over two years ago. So I am surprised, but I'm actually relieved. It's always the 30%, though. You can always count on 30% of the American public to know absolutely nothing. So that 28% number doesn't surprise me.
Well, and what's weird about the 50% number is that 50% call it a witch hunt. The opposition is like 47%, and there's only 3% undecided. Now, that strikes me as odd, that only 3% don't have an opinion on this. I guess we've been inundated by the fake news media to where I guess everybody is on one side or the other of this issue.
Right, exactly. And we can thank, you know, the Democrats for that. And then Maxine Waters, I guess she's probably the 23% that want to impeach the president still. And, of course, then we have the anti-Semites that have been elected into Congress that want to impeach the president. And that would be specifically Tlaib from Michigan and Ilhan Omar from the terror recruiting capital of the world in Minnesota. So there you have it. Those are the types of people. Maxine Waters, who now heads up the finance committee that wants to take over private corporations and nationalize or socialize everything.
You are at your palatial estate there in Incline Village in Lake Tahoe. And I got to ask you, last week there was another one. We almost ought to add the bump music, Another One Bites the Dust. This time it's Mike Sprinkle. These members of the legislature, do they think they are invincible? Do they think people won't rat them out?
It seems that way. You know, we had also at the majority whip, I believe, the leader of the Democrats, is his name Atkinson. Calvin Atkinson, to use $250,000 of his campaign money to fund his LGBTQ bar and off the strip somewhere, I guess, on Fremont. It does seem like they believe they're invincible because they're being caught left and right. Is this three Democrats now that have been forced to resign?
Well, if you count Ricky Barlow here locally, yeah. Well,
yeah,
and Soroka.
One more.
And Soroka.
Yep.
I mean, on and on. It's almost as if there's a culture of corruption among the Democrats. But you know what's weird? I don't hear a lot of Republicans talking about it.
No, we aren't talking about it. We should be talking about it more. But it's also not really making the news, nor is it making national attention. I wonder what has to happen in Nevada for us to be, you know, to be treated with some sort of national recognition. We had an illegal alien that went on a murder spree and killed four northern Nevadans in the span of 3 days. That hardly made the news. Thankfully, President Trump highlighted the family at his State of the Union. The largest mass shooting in our country's history happened in Las Vegas. We couldn't find anybody in the mainstream media to talk about that. I mean, Tucker Carlson did his best for a while. I don't know what needs to happen here to make national news. So I think we need to come up with something, Kevin.
Well, and you know, what is most interesting, it is a multi-jurisdictional prosecution, and they are going to go after the death penalty, I understand. That's great news, because this is the most heinous of acts.
I'm sorry, which one?
The four killings in northern Nevada, a multi-jurisdictional prosecution. They're doing it in both Douglas and is it Douglas and Washoe? I forget.
Washoe. But,
I think so.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. So
no, thankfully so. Well, if Kamala Harris had her way and the Democrats here had their way, they want to basically outlaw the death penalty, and they also want to ban private prisons. That's another bill that has been floating around in the legislature here.
I want to get to that. That was on my list of stuff to talk about. The death penalty in California, Gavin Newsom getting up last week and saying and essentially announcing that they are putting a moratorium on the death penalty, whether that is a long-term, permanent kind of thing or whether this is something that will last just until the end of Gavin Newsom's reign as governor. I don't know. We'll talk about that coming up in our next segment. Stick around. There's a lot more to do. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, and Red Wave America PAC joining us as she does every Monday right here, live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun. It's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, you're driving around a curve in the highway. I hit you square in the face and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
This is Amy Emanuel, your Republican candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. I was raised with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and monetary responsibility. Las Vegas wants a representative that will support small business and spur job growth, promote pedestrian safety, and tackle our chronic homeless issue. I have the integrity and necessary experience to do this job. Please support me at the polls this April 2nd. A vote for Amy Emanuel will guarantee another conservative voice on the Las Vegas City Council, paid for and authorized by committee to elect Amy Emanuel.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Kevin Wall with you. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, joining us from Northern Nevada. She'll be returning to Southern Nevada later today. And I know one of the things in the People's Republic of California, it made national news, and that is the fact that in California, Gavin Newsom, the new governor, is imposing a moratorium on the death penalty. Well, first of all, why do we have the death penalty? And if we choose to just leave these people to rot away in prison, are we as well off as we are ridding the planet of these people?
Well, I mean, you know, that's part of the justice system. That's part of the law. And Californians had voted on to tighten up the appeal processes specifically for death row inmates. It's been decades since California has executed any death row inmate. And so the voters spoke, I believe it was in 2016, that they wanted to shorten the appeal process. And in spite of the votes, Gavin Newsom, the totalitarian Democrat that he is, took it under his own power and basically superseded or overruled the people that voted on the death penalty. And so this is what happens when you have someone like Gavin Newsom that believes that he is emperor of the state instead of a working on behalf of the citizens of the state who voted resoundingly to keep the death penalty, simply just to shorten the appeal process.
Let me ask you, do you like the death penalty? Do you view it as a deterrent? Does it do what it's supposed to do?
Well, in states, it doesn't, like in California, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do because there's such a, you know, inordinate amount of time that is given to the appeal process. You know, I think that now that we have DNA evidence that can be used to, you know, rightfully find the perpetrator of a crime, that has strengthened our ability to prosecute accordingly. We have less mistakes in our judicial system because of the technology. I am a proponent of the death penalty, but I'm certainly not a proponent of just allowing inmates to languish on death row for decades and decades while they exhaust every sort of appeal possible. And we have to think about the victims' families. The victims' families have to go through all these appeal processes. They have to show up in court. They have to go to their probation hearings, if they have any probation hearings. And it just creates this whole entire new victimhood of the families. There's no real... you know, there's the mourning period just keeps on extending and extending instead of the healing process. And so I'd like to see actually a death penalty in states like Texas where they actually execute those who are on death row instead of giving them an inordinate amount of time to appeal the process.
The line is growing longer. We're talking about the line to run against President Trump. We've got Kirsten Gillibrand. She signed up. Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke. He raised $6 million in 24 hours. What is going on the Democrat side? And is there anybody there that's willing to accept the socialist, other than maybe Bernie Sanders, anybody willing to accept the label of socialist?
Well, they seem to be running away from it, but their policies are directly in line with Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders is really the only honest one up there. When you look at their policies, there is no sunlight between the policies of a socialist and the policies of someone like, say, Kamala Harris, who claims that she's not a socialist. So they're still trying to run away from socialism, but you have to ask yourselves, why is it that socialists and Marxists and communists and anti-Semites seemingly always find a home in the Democrat Party? Well, because they're welcomed there. The Democrat policies are socialist policies. It is the takeover or the nationalization of private businesses. It's the elimination of private insurance. It is government mandates here, government regulations there, and government ownership everywhere.
I want to ask you, because this is something nobody in the Democrat Party wants to talk about, but it's there. And it is the generational or age issue. You got Joe Biden ready to jump in. You've got a Bernie Sanders who's already in. You've got some real old white dudes, and then you've got these other people of color and people that are much younger, really a generation or two removed. Is that going to come up in the campaign when you've got 20 or 30 candidates that somebody will essentially play the age card?
Well, one would think so. And of course, you know, if they're true progressives, as they claim to be, they'd be playing the white privilege card as well. You know, it's not only it's the old white male privilege card. That's what should be talked about. Beto can't hide, behind Beto because he is an Hispanic. He's got white privilege. He even admitted it on the campaign trail. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. I think what is going to happen, that it's going to be either a Biden and a Bernie at the top, and then they'll probably choose the identity politics card, which could be, you know, a Kamala or a Booker. You know, that's kind of what I expect. I think Booker might find a place in a VP position. He doesn't have crazy hands like Beto, and seemingly is.
The crazy hands was great. That was great.
It's cool because that's all I see now. And Trump is a troll master when it comes to this. He finds people's weakest and his opponents' weakest, idiosyncrasies, if you will, or weaknesses. And then he just mercilessly and relentlessly attacks those weaknesses. It's perfect.
I just love it. So you think it might, in the end, and again, I don't know how any Democrat can trust the Democrat Party, the party elite, whether you've removed superdelegates or not. The fact is, I wouldn't trust these people after what they did to Bernie in 2016.
Right, but now they've opened their arms to Bernie Sanders. He's actually running on the Democrat ticket. That's curious, isn't it? He's even though he's not a Democrat, he is a registered independent. So the Democrats are bending over backwards to allow the communists into their party and to perhaps lead their party. They're not stupid. I think when you look at how the Democrats lost the Rust Belt, I always said if Bernie had run against President Trump, I don't think he would have won, but I certainly think they would have gotten some votes in the Rust Belt, specifically perhaps Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton didn't even walk into Wisconsin. We'll see what they do this time around. But, I mean, Bernie should not be underestimated, specifically because they want the youth vote. They believe that the youth vote, the millennial vote, is going to show up in extraordinary numbers, specific to, free college and, climate change. You know, in 1922, the Washington Times was telling us the world was going to end because of climate change. It's 2020, and they're 19, and they're still telling us the world is going to end of climate change. It's just the millennials haven't been taught that history.
Well, AOC only gives us 12 years, so.
Right, right. See, in 12 years, I think she can run for president because she's too young now. So maybe that's what the 12 years.
I didn't know what that was. Now the lights turned on. Mm-hmm. It is always great to visit with you. I know I've only got a minute, but I got to ask you, anything new relative to voter integrity? Anything happening behind the scene that's going on you can share with us?
Well, you can all come to the CCGOP tomorrow at the Silverton. I'll be speaking there for 15 minutes and giving the update there. And hopefully we'll meet some new activists that will come out from the Trump meetup that we had at the Trump Hotel this past week. What a showing.
Was that fabulous? There had to be 150, 200 people, and it was they were great.
Yeah, I figured about 150 people came through the event over the course of just a few hours. It was like, 6 to 8, I think. People were staying there till 9 or well beyond. This is what we wanted to do. We wanted to connect like-minded people in Clark County. We want to invite activists into our party because we need boots on the ground for 2020. We only need about 6 seats in order to flip our legislature and take it away from, near super control of the Democrats, because if they get one more vote, then our taxes start going up and our fees start going up and our borders start opening up.
By the way, just in 10 seconds, will there be a meetup 2.0?
Oh, yeah. Every month we're going to do a meetup.
I love that.
So they can text 53445, text Trump meetup to 53445.
I just love it.
And get on the list.
Hey, Megan, always good. Well, you have a good week and we'll talk with you again next Monday.
Thank you.
There you have it. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Live and local now.
790 Vegas and 98.1. Talk now. Talk that.
We are into week 7. Of the 80th Nevada legislature, 120 days they'll go. They'll finish in early June. And one of the bills they're going to be taking up today is SB 179. That's Senate Bill 179. And it would remove from Nevada law parental notification and consent for girls under the age of 18 to get an abortion. In other words, If they went to their school nurse and needed an aspirin, they'd have to get parental notification and consent. If the girl comes to the school nurse and wants an abortion, all bets are off. But there is possibly good news. Tell you what, let's do. Let's check in with Aaron Phillips, the president of Power to Parent, who has been a leader in our community, in our state, on this particular issue. Aaron, first of all, thanks for joining us. And there's a hearing this afternoon, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be 2:30 this afternoon at the Grant Slaughter Building here in Las Vegas, and then in Carson City at the Capitol today.
Okay. Explain how this all came about. Give us a little bit of the backstory on SB 179, and in particular, how we got to this place where we are today in law.
So, essentially, in 1985, there was a parental notification law that was passed by the Nevada legislature that required parental notification before an abortion. And so, very soon after that bill was passed, there were several people that sued, and one included Planned Parenthood. And they, when they sued, it brought it up to the Ninth Circuit Court, and the Ninth Circuit ruled it unconstitutional. And so then they essentially enjoined the ruling, so we were never actually allowed to enforce the law. But actually, in the 90s, Montana had a very similar parental notification law that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that that law was constitutional. And so the only reason that our law still remained unconstitutional was based on one prong, which was it was a judicial bypass, so an expedited judicial review requirement to be written into the law. So as of right now, we have parental notification in the Nevada revised statutes, but it's not being enforced. But what this bill would do is it would remove it from the Nevada revised statutes entirely. And so then that would require us to have to do something like a referendum in order to get parental notification back into the Nevada law. So we want, we're really excited because the sponsor of this bill did introduce an amendment. So it's a conceptual amendment. It needs to be passed through still by the committee. But that would actually remove that section on parental notification. And so we're grateful for that. But there's still quite a few problems with this bill.
Ivana Cancela, the state senator, is bringing up the amendment to SB 179. Will that amendment come up today during the hearing?
Yeah, I imagine it will be probably right in the beginning of the hearing, hopefully.
Tell me what you want folks to do. I mean, what kind of help do you need on this particular bill?
Yeah. So here's the biggest thing. There's no guarantee of an amendment. We want to make sure that people come to this hearing. They don't even have to speak if they're not comfortable doing that. But it's so important that they come to this hearing and just show up and be there and let their presence be known, sign in, and let the legislators know that we do not support this kind of legislation. We also want to make sure they know that we want them to go ahead and make sure that amendment goes through. But the bill is still really bad. So if you don't mind, I would like to mention a couple pieces that are still really bad in this law. Do you mind if I do that now?
No, please do. Please do.
Okay. So essentially, it still weakens the informed consent. So there's no requirement for the doctor to explain the physical and the emotional implications to the woman about what could come from an abortion. So side effects emotionally and physically, and typically you have to have that information from any procedure. So it weakens that piece. And then also it removes the piece that requires the doctor to verify that the woman is having this abortion freely without coercion. And so that's a big deal because we've heard different numbers, but I think conservative numbers are 30 to 60%. That's from Nevada Right to Life, that abortions are done under coercion. So it removes any responsibility from the abortionist to make sure that there's no coercion. It also keeps in some of the criminal aspects. It's decriminalizing some aspects around abortion, including, for example, if someone... we've had cases where a boyfriend or husband or somebody slips an abortion drug into the woman's drink and causes an abortion. So essentially, it would decriminalize that with this law. And then also, there's no requirement for them to ask the age or the marital status of the woman. So you're not even getting accurate information. I've heard different people talk about wanting that information for statistical purposes, for policy making. So it's irresponsible on that side. Also, if you don't know the age of the woman, then how are we even eventually going to have parental notification if you aren't required to tell your age, among other things? So my question is, why would Democrats not want women to be fully informed about their medical choices? A lot of these things in this bill seem to go counter to the things that Democrats say that they stand for, which is protecting women. And also, many of their other bills have appeared to want to protect children and health of children, and have admittedly needed, you know, parents to help out in that, specifically the helmet bill. I don't know if you're familiar with that bill.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Why do we even need parents? Whether it's sunscreen, yeah, whether it's helmets for your child, 17 years of age and under, if they're skateboarding or roller skating. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do we even need parents anymore?
Right.
The state will do it for us, you know. They'll take care of all of it. Let me just ask you, but when it comes to abortion, and I'm not sure if this is the only abortion bill that's going to be in the legislature, but do you get a sense of what it is Democrats really want when it comes to abortion?
That's a really good question. I think we can see kind of on a national stage that what Democrats want is access to abortions on demand at any time for any reasons with no questions asked. And that's really the only thing that I can see in this bill, is that it just really removes a lot of the pieces that would protect women and give them information about their medical choices. And so, why wouldn't they want to have that responsibility of the doctor to verify that there's no coercion when this woman is being given an abortion? I mean, to me, it just speaks to the radical mentality that they've taken and the stance on abortion that they've taken, is that they want to have abortion access available with no questions asked. And so this is, and we've all seen this, the tide of public opinion is totally changing in regards to abortion. And so I think if our Nevada Democrats go this direction, that we are going to only see people continue to have their opinions go more pro-life, because that's what we're seeing on the national stage as well.
Yeah, let me just ask you, though. I mean, with the absolutely horrific bills in New York State, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, do you see any of that stuff coming our way? You know that they've got the votes. But do you see any of that really radical stuff, what I call the fourth trimester abortion?
Yeah.
Any of that stuff that is going to end up in legislation over the course of the 80th Nevada legislature?
Well, one of the amendments that the senator introduced was it removed the section that takes out the gross misdemeanor for concealing the body of a baby who's died either before or after birth. So that was a very concerning section, because that's essentially kind of what you're saying. I mean, what are we talking about here? If there's a forced abortion, if there's a child born alive and then is, you know, not given medical treatment, it would have taken out the, you know, criminal piece of that. So we saw that she did add that amendment, and so I'm grateful for that piece. But yeah, I think that overall Nevadans don't want radical abortion legislation, and so I think I'm very hopeful that we'll get some fixes to this bill, and that we won't see something that radical, because this isn't what Nevadans want.
Well, and by the way, Erin Phillips joining us, Power to Parent, she lobbies very hard in Carson City on a number of different issues. We're talking about abortion today, but one of the offshoots of abortion in our state, more than in almost any other state, I think we are number six when it comes to human and sexual trafficking. We've got a lot of young people that are the victims of human and sexual trafficking that are going to end up needing some of these services.
Exactly. And, you know, I've spoken to a number of people within the community who help girls who are in and other kids who are involved with trafficking. And they all had concerns, especially over this parental notification piece. And so what I would say is if Democrats are concerned with the high number, the high ranking that we have in Nevada for sex trafficking, that this would be something that they would want to change and that we could work together on. Because if you wanted to actually fix this bill and make it good for Nevada girls and overall kind of reflect their legislative priorities, they could add that piece into this bill. They could add a parental notification piece into this bill with a judicial bypass, an expedited judicial bypass, which would make it totally constitutional based on the precedent already set by the Supreme Court. And then we'd be really protecting our kids here in Nevada. And, you know, the Southern Nevada Sex Trafficking Task Force, I spoke to a representative from them, and they felt really strongly that this would be detrimental to their juvenile the juvenile victims of sex trafficking. If we remove, you know, anything that requires parental notification. So we need to not only take that piece out of this law, but we need to be able to potentially reactivate that law. And they could do that by adding that into this bill.
And by the way, Erin, is there anything that Republicans should be doing? I'm talking about elected Republicans in the Assembly, in the State Senate. Anything they should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think they should be talking to their constituents, obviously, and listening to them, because we have a lot of really informed people who will be at this hearing today, hopefully, and be able to testify on the record. You know, listening to personal stories from girls who've been affected by abortion and hear the, you know, I would hope they would reach across the aisle and be able to come to a bipartisan coalition on this, because we know sex trafficking is a huge problem. Democrats and Republicans know that. So if we can look at this and work together on this to get parental notification with that expedited judicial bypass and judicial review, then I think we could actually come up with something really amazing that would be really effective to helping this problem of sex trafficking that we have in Nevada.
Erin, give us the who, what, where, when, why one more time so people both in northern and southern Nevada know where to go, what to do, and what time to do it today.
Sure. So we're going to be at in Las Vegas, we're going to be at the Grant Sawyer Building, which is 555 East Washington. And it's a remote site. And then if you're in northern Nevada, you could head over to the legislative building over in Carson City. And all of this information is at 2:30 p.m. is when we're going to start the hearing. And I know this is a bad time for parents, right? Because we're all taking our kids up from school between 2:30 and 3:30. So unfortunately, that's a reality for a lot of parents. But carpool, come late. We know that we'll probably be there a little bit longer into the afternoon. So if you can pick up your kids and then come, please do that. And then also, if you need extra information about addresses and everything, please go to power2parent.org. That's power with the number 2, parent.org. And all of that information is listed on our website as well.
Erin, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much. Let us know how it goes today.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
There you go. Erin Phillips joining us, the president of Power to Parent. Man, there was so much going on. Coming up in our next half hour, and in fact, in our next 15 minutes, I'm going to let you hear from a woman, a very passionate Democrat. But she spoke at the Bernie rally. She lost a child to the medical system, if you will, to the medical system. And she feels very passionately, and I feel her pain. You can sense her pain when she talks. But she spoke at the Bernie rally, and I took just a quick clip from it. We'll let you hear it. Amy Vallela is the person in question who spoke at the rally on Saturday. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, the president-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas at 7770 Dean Martin Drive. Check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, enjoy food station pairings, and learn about the amazing work the Rotary does in our community. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Tickets are just $60. Proceeds will stay right here in Southern Nevada and benefit community organization partners. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com. And I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. In 2017, the state's only funded educational choice program was given an extra $20 million to help low-income kids find better schools. Now Governor Sisolak says he doesn't want to keep that funding in the budget. His plan to slash the program could mean nearly 1,000 low-income students are going to lose their scholarships and be forced back into schools that didn't work for them in the first place. In 2017, the Nevada Teachers Union promised they would roll this program back or even eliminate it. Unless parents start pressuring their lawmakers today, it looks like the union might just have their way. That's why it's more important than ever for parents to let the governor and the legislature know that improving education should mean helping kids get in the classrooms where they can truly succeed, not taking away the very scholarships that make it possible. Your voice, your phone call could be what makes a difference. So visit NevadaPolicy.org, sign up for our emails, and you can get involved this legislative session on this issue and all the other issues we're keeping a close eye on in 2019. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. I told you at the rally, for those of you that don't know, I went to the Bernie Sanders rally. I actually went to a pro-Trump pre-rally before the, I guess, socialist rant of Bernie Sanders. And watching Bernie, I mean, it was exactly what I expected. There just wasn't a lot new. One thing that I did find interesting... a woman by the name of Amy Villela, she's a healthcare activist in Southern Nevada, and she spoke a couple of speakers ahead of Bernie, and she lost her daughter to the healthcare system, She made a mistake when she went to an emergency room or went to a place and tried to get care, and she said she didn't have health care. She didn't have health insurance. When maybe she did, but that's another day, another issue. But Amy Vallela is very, very passionate. She and I see the world much, much differently. But I certainly took under advisement what she said. Let's go to cut three real quick, see if we can squeeze this in. This was Amy Vallela Saturday at Morrell Park.
He was talking about all type of crazy ideas that the news anchors and the TV pundits said would never happen. Social justice, racial justice, economic and climate justice, healthcare justice. Healthcare justice. He said, no one in America should die because they don't have insurance. In 2016, Bernie Sanders helped me give my life purpose again. I am a healthcare warrior. And my mission is clear. When 35,000 people die every year in America simply because they do not have health insurance, my mission is clear. We need Medicare for all. And I am forever grateful to Bernie for bringing this message to me and to the American people. Bernie Sanders' mission is clear. In 2016, Bernie Sanders boldly told us, healthcare is a human right. Today, 72% of the American people support Medicare for all. And it doesn't end there. On issue after issue, Bernie is not only leading, he's changing the terms of the debate.
See, nobody ever wants, the weird thing is that those numbers go way down. That 72% goes way down when you start telling people exactly what it costs. And it costs trillions of dollars. It's People's Republic of California. They tried Medicare for all. And then they found out it would cost even more for Medicare for all for the state of California, People's Republic of California, than the entire state budget for a year. Now, they said it's going to cost how much? Always ask these people. And I did that. I did that at the pro-Trump rally that we had ahead of the Bernie rally. And I asked people, I know you want Medicare for all. Who's going to pay for it and how much is it going to cost? They get uniquely silent when you ask them that question. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Coming up, for those of you that have thought about starting a business, what must you know? And by the way, when should you close down a business? We'll talk about that with a guy that knows a little bit about business. He started a number of them himself. Jared Fisher will join us in studio, live and local, now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.